Are you ready?
1 second. Wait, did we pray? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, our intercessors have been praying already. So they fast. They did a Daniel fast earlier this week.
Making sure, because that's how that works, right? We can't do anything without.
And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, Man Weezy. To my right, we got Paige Atkins that is joining us. To my far right, Be Real.
Yeah.
To my left will be Bobise, who is currently rushing to get here. So when you see her slide on in, pretend like she's been here the whole time. How's everybody doing?
Well, I want to address something.
What?
First of all, you said Paige Atkins, which is my government name.
Oh yeah, you're right. My bad. Paige.
So
Bryant.
You just released my government to the whole world. Thank you.
I need to edit that?
Not
out?
That it was a secret, but still, like, let me feel like I'm mysterious.
Paige Bryant. I should have just said Paigey. She's been on the podcast before. Once. We won't talk about it because that was once when, which is kind of slides into this one.
We can talk about it because we're healing.
It slides into this. She was in an episode, a while back ago, and it was about finding the one.
Yeah, this is COVID times, man.
Yeah.
I've been on the podcast twice already.
Yeah, one was finding the one. Uh-huh. What was the second one?
The second one was when you find out the one is a narcissistic
sociopath.
Yes,
you find out that the one is a narcissistic sociopath. Yeah. Like, and that's not hyperbole.
It's factual.
This is literally what happened.
Yeah.
What mm-hmm. we found out. But
yeah.
Then me and Paige had this interesting conversation talking about at what age does it become kind of like freaking the Hunger Games in dating? Like, with women, men, we don't really have this issue, but with women, there's a biological clock. Then you always see the movies making fun of it, that it's like, my biological clock is ticking.
Is that what we sound like?
That's what they say. I was just acting it out. And so things have to happen. Decisions need to be made. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because I think it's so fascinating. But before we do that, we're going to do the Wordiful game.
I love this game.
Yeah,
this
do
game
you really?
Like, I do.
Did you find out because of us? Did we tell you about it?
No, it wasn't you.
Damn it.
Should have used Manny 10 to get 10% off your...
To get 10% off at wordiful.com.
I just want the girl to know that we are promoting her thing.
Right, putting her on.
Here's the first question. Who in your life understands you the best? I guess that's kind of easy for...
For me, who in my life understands me the best? I'm not going to give this answer because there aren't people who understand me. I think my first response was going to be my dad.
Yeah.
But I think where I am in life now, the person who understands me the best is me. And that's like really important. Because,
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, that's really important because that hasn't always been the case. I've always like let myself be molded and defined by other people. So like I now mold and define me and I understand me.
That's top. That is deep. That is, I wasn't expecting.
I would like to piggyback that.
I'd like to echo that. Sheesh. All right. Well, since I can't say that, I think my wife.
Yeah, that's cute.
I think she would. At this point, I definitely feel like she completely knows and understands me. Yeah. Like I don't even have to say stuff.
Yeah.
At this point. And I think it's pretty cool because I always make fun of her. I'm like, dude, if I'm ever out there, I don't make fun of her. I make fun of myself. If I'm ever out there in these streets, like God forbid something happens, I'm like, who's going to put up with all the annoyances that is Manny? My stomach issues, I got to drive issues, me at my way. Even though I've been better, I've been going out to eat. I eat now. Yeah, I don't take it to go.
Oh.
I enjoy. I partake.
Are we still putting ketchup on things though?
Ketchup all the time. Yeah, so. I still don't Uber.
Have you ever considered your stomach issues might be directly correlated to the fact that you put ketchup on everything?
I have.
Ketchup related.
Ketchup related issues.
I have lessened the amount of ketchup that I put on now. Now I just lightly.
Just a light lather.
Swerve it on. But that would be me. That would be Angie.
Nice little splash of some tomato sauce on your
tomato sauce
on your tacos.
What was your answer?
Listen, I could probably say both of them. Like obviously myself, I think now I'm still fairly young. But 20s was obviously a huge time and space where you're just figuring out like, oh, yeah. Shit, I don't know anything about myself.
Right.
Now I'm starting to understand a little bit. Obviously, Maddie, for me, now it's like, you know, it's awesome now that we got some years down. So it's the nonverbal cues that you're like completely understand. Yep. Oh, yep. Maddie's tired. Oh, Maddie's stressed. Oh, Maddie's like not feeling the situation. She feels uncomfortable without having to say a word. And the same goes for me because I'm obviously much more of a verbal processor. So I'm constantly, it's just a bunch of words all the time. So for her, she understands me. And then another person I would say is my sister. And my sister's actually going to be here in the audience watching. Audience.
In the audience.
Live studio audience.
She's
going to
be, and you know, it's great because when we were growing up, we actually hated each other for a good amount. Like we'd get in fights and I joke around all the time, but I'm for reals when I tell you, like my sister was just physically more mature than me up until like eighth grade. Mm. So we're a year apart. Mm. So like she had beat my ass in basketball and life and fights, all of it. So I was getting beat
up. Wait, she's your younger sister.
Yeah, I was getting beat up by my little sister. And she was
just, I love that for you.
She was just tougher and all of that. And so anyways, we hated each other. And then we hit this thing where we thought, you know what? I think life would be easier for each of us if we just love each other and we just stop fighting. And we're just like, this is so much better. We actually really love each other. Yeah. And so now, man, she gets me on just such a deep level. And it's amazing to have like a sibling like that as truly like a best friend.
Yeah.
Like, that's so special. So
yeah, because I don't have that. I mean, my sister, I would say New York, but not like my brother. I wish we had that.
Yeah, I'm really close with my brother. And I think there's something too, like if you can get past those years of sibling rivalry to really like nurture that friendship, because I think sometimes you just have this assumption that like because we're siblings, there's supposed to be this built-in friendship, and that's not really the case. But if you like actually take the time to nurture it, it is something really special because it's like no one else in the world knows why I'm the way I am like you do. Whether like what makes me great or like what makes why I'm screwed up. You were there too. You saw it happen. Exactly. Like, you know, so it's something really
special. Because you really don't find someone like that that has the formative years and the same experience and the same worldview.
Right.
Right.
Right. Obviously you're gonna have different experiences based off what you're into and stuff, but that starting place is like, and that's the thing that bonds you forever. And then so it's cool, Kyle. We just continue to grow closer. Like we went on a family trip together to Vegas, like back in July, and just had a great time.
Oh yeah, Vegas is such a like fun family backdrop. Place, that's
right. Yeah. Me and my sister like hitting up these spots.
This question is good. What makes you feel successful?
That I think that is like being redefined for me at this point in life. I would say prior to like 2-3 years ago, being successful looked like here are all my goals. Here are all the things that I'm trying to accomplish. And I am successful based off of how many of those things I have marked off. And that's like personal and professional success. And I think I'm at the place now where success looks to me like, where is the place where you have peace? Like success is where do you feel fulfilled? Like you may be in a space where you feel so full and you feel so at peace and you feel so much joy, but maybe it's not like giving you like the most money or something like that, but it's like, that's a successful situation. We see it all the time. There are tons of highly successful people who have millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars even, but they're personally like so worn down and tattered and beat up because life will life you. And so I think
that's a good verb.
Life will
life will life your ass.
Life will life your ass. And life. So like it'll life. Just shank you. Like what? I was just trying to brush my teeth. And like, you know, so but yeah, I think success to me now, it looks like joy. It looks like peace. It looks like wholeness. And so which also I think makes it more fluid for me because those things can attach to anything.
It's funny that I had this thought when I was walking to the gym this morning. I text Ange. It was early. I don't know. It was like 5:30. And I text her and I said, babe, isn't it cool that every day we grow in appreciation of each other as opposed to growing in annoyance? because we know a lot of couples and a lot of marriages that have grown in annoyance more than in appreciation. And so I thought that feels very successful, especially with the landscape of marriage now. It's like, before it used to be a thing that everybody did. Now it's like, yo, 50-50 shot you got of making it with the person that you pick. And so to me, it's a small win, but it actually is a very massive thing, because we genuinely grow in this insane amount of appreciation and love. And so I'm like, I feel good. I feel good about that. Like, I feel like we're winning.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
Come on, Obese.
Hey there. I think for me, there's a lot of like kind of intersections of what makes me feel successful. I think one has to do with fulfillment. Two has to do with peace. Three has to make me feel like I'm moving along the line of a sense of an inner purpose that I feel like I have. And then the thing recently that I've really just been, and one of the turning points actually, Manny, was when we went on the RV trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I had one of the best days of my life. And I realized that it wasn't, I mean, being in Carmel, that's
a
nice place to be. But the thing that was like life-changing for me in that moment was I just became so aware of, one, just how much love is in my life. And I realized, like, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm so grateful. Like, I could die right now and be happy. Like, I lived a full life because I got so much love in my life. And that's one of the things I've been coming back to is, like, even as me growing up, just as a man, I haven't been able to receive love in the way that others have been giving me love. And I've been completely unaware of it. Like, just friendships in my life, my wife, my mom, my dad, sister, all of that. And so for me, the thing that's been kind of making me feel like a success is, like, I'll just take a moment to stop. Like, last night, William and Johnny came over and we were watching She-Hulk, right? Thursday nights is our, like, Marvel TV series night. And so I just, like, looked around the room for a second and was just like, this is the dream right here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. I got so much love. Like, any one of these people I know got my back and they love me and they appreciate me for me. And I just was like, this is success. This is what it looks like for me. Mm-hmm. So
I love that. You want to answer that one?
So for me, wait, what are we talking about?
What makes you feel successful?
We're talking about you. So
oh my
much
gosh,
we love
is
you.
This like a one thing I love about Elise situation?
Yeah.
I love that game.
Something like that.
Hi guys, sorry I'm late everybody. What was the question? What makes me successful?
What makes you feel successful?
Oh, that's so good. Whenever I get a makeup artist to do my makeup, which was probably Brandon's answer. So,
Yeah.
I think I actually like what B said, and it's funny. I was thinking about it this morning about those moments. I was thinking about this podcast today, what we're about to talk about with dating. And, I think that for me, it's really interesting. Like, my thoughts on it are like, I'm so glad that I have come to a place of contentment. I'd say earlier this year, maybe late last year, which, you know, took me a second, but we got there in the end. And I think now that feeling of contentment, truly, I really do feel like that feels like success now, because it's what B said of like that. I look around and it's about the She-Hulk nights. Like, it's about the Tuesdays and the, oh my gosh, this is a really good country
House
song.
There's a House of Dragon Sunday nights now too.
Oh my gosh.
Game of Thrones series. It's
have to come by for
I
that
never
one.
Watched Game of Thrones. So for me, I don't know. It was just so much. Like, I had to concentrate so hard all the time.
You sometimes have to pray before, because there's sex scenes in there, Elise.
Oh, look.
Gotta be careful.
Listen, the eyes are the window to the soul.
Come on. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful.
I do not need to Shonda High that afterwards. So, yeah, I think that, like, what makes me feel successful, that is my answer on a good day. On a bad day, like, notifications and validation and stuff like that. But that's not, like, real success.
Sure.
It depends on the day.
And depends on if you're in your shadow or in your lights off. I get it.
Enneagram threes, am I right?
So we'll dive into this topic. And I said a little bit at the beginning, but me and Paige were having a brunch and we stumbled onto this topic because obviously,
I wouldn't say we stumbled. I feel like
give us the real answer.
No,
right?
I feel like I wouldn't say we stumbled. I feel like in the now, oh my God, 15 years that I've known you, we always circled this topic.
I will second that.
Yeah. Well, I am a resource for all my female I'm a resource for all my female friends. I cut through the fuckery. I can pretty much judge a dude and I'll be on point. Okay. But we were talking about her situation, love, dating, all that stuff. And then we stumbled onto the timeline thing.
Oh, okay.
Like, I wasn't planning on talking about that. But when we started talking about Paigey being 36.
He's just all my information today.
Six.
So all she needs that information. Also security also lives as well. In.
What else do you want to talk about?
36 now. As a woman, we started talking about, oh my gosh, so that means that the timeline was 2 years. I got 2 years to decide on whether or not I'm going to move forward and do this baby thing on my own, or if a dude's going to come along in this 2 years, but cannot wait past this 2 year mark. And so that hit me hard because I'm like, man, guys don't have this problem.
We know.
Do it anytime, all the time.
They live as such. They are living as freely as birds.
Yeah. But then they say it like that too. Yeah. Like, oh man.
Oh, I never guessed that.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's the thing. So then, what that made was, and I have this problem, which I was saying at the beginning before we turned record on. I have a problem with some of a female perspective. I don't have a problem. I get sad when I hear girls like, just fucking, right? Not because I'm mad at them going around sleeping, but you got years of your life, right? Where you think like you're a badass and you're doing this shit, but then you realize, oh my God, in my 30s, like these years are valuable. Like it's like, they're like gold because there comes a point where you get to a certain number where you're like, oh my God, like did I waste time messing around here or messing around there or even in the wrong relationship? Because the psycho that we talked about at the beginning stole a 4 year window of your prime years. We were both like, why couldn't this happen in the 20s?
No, I know. And I feel like when you say like,
just to clarify,
no, I know that. And I think too, you have to, when you're talking about like, it makes you sad when you hear of women who are, let's say being empowered in their sexuality. But I think it depends because you're saying these are valuable years, but you have to be, everybody defines value different.
You are correct.
What is valuable to a person? I also think for a lot of women, not for a lot of women, all women, we have literally been told since the beginning of time that any type of power or, ownership or claiming of our bodies is a wrong thing. Like we have been conditioned to believe that our bodies exist for the sole purpose of a male's consumption. Whether it's a body to breed you a legacy, whether it's a body to give you pleasure, whether it's a body to, you know, for you to just look at and gawk at when all I did was wear shorts in 110 degree weather and go to Whole Foods. Like it, we're conditioned to think that like my sole existence, especially exterior, is meant for a man. And then you add the layer on top of like growing up in the church where it's like, oh my God, if you are a harlot, you are a Jezebel. You want to be empowered. You are a Jezebel. Nobody wants to be a Jezebel.
Oh God.
Nobody want in the story of Hosea, you don't want to be Hosea's wife. Mm-mm. You don't want to be the harlot in the streets. And then you're taught that like, oh wow, this holy man Hosea who just loved this whore. He just loved her no matter what she did. This man of God who just loved this lowly woman because God told her to. And it's like, you know, and I remember like reading those stories when I was young, as I got older, like teenager, early 20s, and being like, but what's her backstory? Like, how did she get here? Like, she needs love too. She needs support. Is he even a good husband?
Maybe
there's a reason she keeps leaving. I don't know. Like God told her to love him, but maybe she hasn't got the memo about him yet. I don't know. So I think it's just like when you see that now, I think it's women are kind of saying, or not kind of, but we're saying like,
yo, like, I am my own self. Like, the question earlier of, like, who understands you the best? Like, I've had to do work to be like, I understand me the best. What do I want? What do I need? And what does that look like for the only backdrop of that question to be myself and my sanity and my peace and my mental and emotional, spiritual health, and not what I need in accordance to how choosable that will make me to men, what I want in terms of how wifeable that will make me, but just like, what does it actually mean to be myself? And then what do I actually value? Not what are the values that are being pressed upon me that I must uphold, and this standard that is impossible to meet, but that I must kill myself to try and meet, so that men can feel better about themselves because they're not doing the fucking work to grow up.
I fully agree with what you're saying.
That's it.
Here's what I agree with.
And so because they're not doing the work to grow up, some women are saying, well, if none of you are going to be husband material, I'm still going to get mine. And then I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to travel. And I'm going to do what I need to do and not
I'm all for
tether
that.
Myself
when
to
I,
you.
When I said what I said, it wasn't because, again, that's well, because I have to preface. That's why I said I'm not mad. I feel sad because it was coming off of the conversation of what we had of someone that I already know who does want a family, who does want kids. So when I said I feel sad, it's more so addressing the women who are dealing with the fuckery, are dealing with the whack dudes, and find themselves in a position where, well, I'm just going to go do this, or I may have to I don't want to say lower my standards, but I'm going to engage in this situation because at this point in my life, I'm losing a little bit of hope. So I'm going to deal with this dude, which I know isn't necessarily the best. And then you end up wasting years on it. So
but
that's why I'm saying
I
feel sad.
Like, you have to be sad for everyone then, because I think what ends up happening is there ends up being this stress on like, oh, I'm sad. And I know your heart like is well in it. But like for some people, they're like, oh, I'm sad for the women who are doing that. When, again, since the beginning of time, men will be like, I want a wife. I want a family. And yes, I'm sleeping with all of these women, but I want a wife. I want a family.
Sure.
Yes, I'm pouring all my time and energy into this woman who ain't shit, but I want a wife.
But
I
remember
want a
the preface. No one feels, remember the preface. Guys don't have a timeline.
I understand.
That's the only
but like
preface.
when we're
thank you for that reminder, Manny.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
When we are reprogramming mindsets and mentalities, we have to understand that it's like, why do we feel sad for her and also not for him? Because he also in that wasting of time, it like is doing the same thing. He's pulling himself further and further away from the thing that he ultimately
wants. Yes, but there's
wants.
An answer for that. There's an answer for that. Because again, we're speaking specifically. We're not speaking broadly. I'm talking specifically to the woman who wants those things.
But I'm speaking specifically to the man who wants those things.
But the man doesn't have a timeline. That's why I'm saying it's different. That's why you can't feel sad for a man, because a man could fuck around till he's 60 and at 60 be like, all right, I'm going to get it together and still be able to produce a seed.
All right. My
That's
turn,
all I'm saying.
My turn, the Australian. Hi. My thing is this, is that sure, a guy can do that and have a kid when he's 60. We know them, bunch of slips. But like celebs, not sluts. I feel like it sounded like sluts.
I thought you said slips.
All the sluts.
I don't even know what I said, to be honest.
Shout out to all the sluts right now. If you're listening or watching on YouTube,
shout out.
Smash that like button.
Yeah, hit subscribe.
Smash that like button. Nice. Like 60-year-old guys that then want to have a kid, right? For sure they biologically can. We get it. I just feel like that's not, okay. Oof. I'll just say it. I feel like that's not fair to the kid, because now you're 60. So sure, our bodies shut down from a reproductive system point of view. But that's like, if you're a guy and you're like, it's fine, my body's, I can have a kid at 60. You're a dick.
Yeah.
Like, if you think you're going to be a great dad when you're like, your whole, like, you need knee surgery every other week. Like, bro, like, I just feel like it's so selfish for like, when men say, and not you, and for the record, I'm not saying you, but like when guys like give that reason, because I've heard that before, when guys are like, yeah, well, you shouldn't be wasting years right now because I mean, I'm fine. Like I'm trying to like smash and grab. Don't worry, I don't have any friends like that anymore. I got rid of them. But
you.
Like, thank you so much. We've grown. But like, it just makes me so mad when I hear like men genuinely use, because that's a ridiculous thing, Manny. Yeah. The men out there, there are men out there that use that excuse.
No, I know what this.
And I'm like, you're so mean of you.
I'm not creating a false
No
circumstance. No,
I just had to rant that. Real
That's
quick.
Why I'm saying
I feel better
it's
now.
Sad.
Thank you so much for
this
listening.
This is why I'm saying it's sad, because I'm sad for the situation that everyone find themselves in currently. That's what makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's not like a gender thing. It's more so, man, this sucks because one of these genders who should be allowed to do whatever they want when they want. Like, I'm not bashing that. If you want to, you know, screw 1,000 people, I don't care. That doesn't bother me. The sad part is that one of these two mm-hmm. has a timeline that forces them into freaking seasons where now they got to make really tough decisions.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is what we were discussing. Yeah. It's like, okay, it's not ideal to be thinking, okay, am I going to find someone in these next 2 years, or do I have to go at this alone? That does not feel like an awesome, like, you know, choose yeah. between. And that's what makes me sad, because I'm like, I wish it wasn't like that. Yeah. I wish we did have, I don't understand why it's like that. I don't understand why the body shuts down. And it's not like you can't have kids past 40, but it just
Sarah
becomes
in the Bible, for example.
Yeah. Which yeah. is what they always want to encourage yes. me with, because that's what I want to
oh
be.
Oh my gosh.
The Lord opened her womb, you know?
I want to be 90 and pregnant.
That's on my mood board, for sure.
That's definitely what I want. Thank you. Let me be like
vision
the
boards are us.
Saved.
Let me hold a baby and it's tough for me yeah. to walk up the stairs.
But yeah. But then as women, as women then, okay, because obviously we find ourselves in this situation currently. What do you guys think about, like, as you scan your life, like, is there a moment or a feeling of like, man, I lost them years where I should have, you know, I should have maybe have I'll been different it. Or treated it differently now that age is like staring me at my face? Because me and Ange have kind of like had this conversation recently where we're like, damn, we took for granted the youth. We just took for granted. And now we're forced to make conversations and have decisions that is like, have conversations, make decisions that are like, oh my God, time is like literally knocking at our door. Like, you can't do this and you can't do that. You have to do this and you have to do that. And now there's no more get to. Now it's just, I have to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you, Willie Matt.
Featuring Willie Matt. Love you, William. I think that like, here's what I would say. I do that with so many areas of my life, because I think that is this thing we're all living called life. Like, I think that when it comes to relationships, yeah, I absolutely do that. I mean, for me, people on this podcast know, like, obviously it's easy for me to look back and be like, oh, that one time when I was married to the wrong guy, like, yeah, that feels sure. Do I call it a waste though? No, because here's the thing. Through it, I became a whole human that I don't believe I was before. I was like, super Krish, but like not solistically. Ooh, let's pretend that's a word. Whole. So no. Now, also in relationships, have there been guys that I've dated that I'm like, that was a waste of time? Yeah. Did I learn stuff? Yeah. Because like your girl will learn stuff even if there's like only one lesson to learn. Like I'll find it. I will find it even if it, anyway. But also I would say, isn't that just life where we look back and be like, oh, if I could do that again, I'd make a different decision in my finances. That one time I bought a one person sauna during the pandemic, like for sure, if I could go back and not buy that, I would.
That was a great choice. That
thank
was
you
a great
so much.
Choice,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I haven't used it since.
But you have the option to.
Thank you. You know what? You're right. And this is why women stick together, Manuel.
Don't make, I am not saying
why do we
make
it into enemy?
Negative
this
about
guy.
Women.
The hubris.
Brandon's like, I'm with the girls on this one. He's just scared.
I'm just listening.
He's just terrified. But so that's what I would say about that. Like, but yes, and I can, like, I would love to hear Paige's response as well. Like, I can go into details of like some of the crappy situations and dates and things that I kept going for what. But I would say, yeah, but what area of your life do you not look back on and be like, eh, if I could do that over, I'd make a different decision.
Yeah, I agree. I don't look at it. And well, I fight very hard to not look at it as a loss of time.
It's good.
Because I think that, what is that? What do I gain from that? Mm-hmm. That's where you sink into really bad, dark places.
Right.
Yeah. And that's when anything at that point is framed as loss, then there's like hopelessness attached to it. And so, you know, do I wish what happened to me? And like, you know, very briefly I was engaged and now I'm not. And so... Very brief, very short story.
But for sure was not a situation where it's like
Blue's Clues, not wearing a ring, got it. Yeah,
got it.
It wasn't one of those situations which we've talked about before where it's like there was a shit ton of red flags. No, this was like a master.
Completely deceived.
A master. Yeah.
And so it was heartbreaking. It was traumatic. And it has been like the fight of my life for the last year and a half to heal and grow from that. And, you know, when we were talking, I joked and I was like, you know, it just would have been really nice if this asshole could have like wasted my time at 25. Mm-hmm. Like if he could have just like done all this at 20, it would have been ideal if he didn't do it at all. But like, you know,
but you could have bounced back.
But 20s. If he was going to do it, you know, it could have been like a real like life shifting moment at 25, not 34, sure. You know, so it's just that was kind of like,
for sure.
You know, rude. but I think the reason I'm so intentional about not looking at it as loss, because I completely agree with you. All the experiences of my life, especially this one, have molded me into the whole person that I am today. And I have said this multiple times to people that while it sucked and I hated it and I would never choose it again or for anyone else, I'm not this person without it. Mm-hmm. So everything that I am today, the way I'm able to answer and say, I understand myself the best and I am this is because of these things that I've been through. And so it's not a loss. It is though still, but I can still hold that to be true, right? Like multiple things can be true. It's not a loss of time. It sucks because it has put me in a situation where I am 36 and I am single and I do want children and I do want to be married. And the married part, could happen at any point. But the children part, there's a very specific window of what my body can do. And then also mentally, like what I'm even willing to do.
Yep.
You know, like people, I don't know why people feel like it's encouraging when they speak to single unmarried women or just women without children. And they say, well, Janet Jackson had a baby at 50. I don't want
to have a baby at 50.
That's not my ministry. That's not what I want.
That's not my
journey.
I
will literally have that baby and I will bring a young, thriving, vibrant nanny into my life and be everything that I no longer have the energy to be. Like, I just don't, like, I don't want to have a baby at 50.
And part of it, right, isn't about, I'm not just going to pop out a child and be like, did that. I want to be a mom.
I want to experience being a mom.
Exactly. And I
not like I threw my back out and I'm on bed rest.
For sure. And I don't even know, because I slept. Yeah.
Mommy went to bed and now she can't move.
Yeah, it turns out. Like, I think that that's the other side of it, is that sometimes just for that piece of understanding of like, hey, this isn't just us being like, so better pop those kids out, or like even the freezing your egg situation, that's a great preservation like thing that people are now accessing and all that kind of stuff. But it still leaves the conversation of, cool, that takes care of the biological side. Mm-hmm. But there is a part of me that I didn't realize, honestly, until recently, that I was like, damn, I think I want to be a mom. Like, I knew I'd want to be a mom. I'm a pastor's kid. Like, yeah, we're all meant to be moms. But like, spiritual mothers, and anyway.
A quiver full of bullets.
Oh, my God. Who are the daughters in the faith, you know?
Listen, there was this one church I was a part of. This is completely side project or whatever. I'm not even married at this point. I'm not even seeing anybody. And I remember they're like, hey, your time's coming up. You're going to have that quiver full of bows. Am I right?
Oh, my God.
I was like, nah.
Is that a disease?
Yeah.
How do I get rid of that?
This sounds toxic, by the way. Thanks a lot. Yeah. But
how old were you?
Dude, I was like fresh out of college.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like,
I do feel like there's a market here for just like a coffee table book full of quotes and random.
We could fill it just with
that
these
you've
people.
Ever been told or heard at church. Like
we
that.
We need to work on this.
I'm
project.
Just saying. But that idea, though, I think a lot of with you mentioning being a pastor's kid, and like I grew up in church. My grandfathers are pastors. My uncle's a pastor. Like all of that. Finding your there's a timeline biologically, and then there's another timeline that is much, much, much earlier when you grow up in the church.
Between 18 and 23?
18 and 23. 18 to 23 is your window to be chosen. Not to fall in love, not to find a partner, to be chosen.
That's a really good way to chosen. Say it.
I went to Bible college, so I experienced this in heavy. Like, it was like, ring by spring or your money back.
I was just going to say, ring by spring.
Like, or your money back. Or your money back guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, do you have a degree in finance? That's not necessary. that. No, you won't need that. You won't need that.
No, sir.
But yeah, and so I think there's an extra layer that I am deconstructing mentally from just being in church, of feeling like, what does it look like to even exist as like a single woman, childless, in your mid-30s, and a quote unquote Christian?
Yep.
Apparently, like, I cannot love God and not have children and not, like, I'm not being a woman. I must have done something wrong. Because even, like, a lot of Christian mentality will be like, well, God must still be working on you. He's still working on you. And I'm like, so then every married person has reached perfection. So what you're saying to me is that all the married people...
people have told you that God's still working on
you? God is still working on
me. As if she wasn't, like, and I've totally heard that too from the outside looking in, of like, you must not be ready.
You're not
ready. You must not be prepared. The door isn't open yet because you just wouldn't have the strength or the tools to walk through it.
But at 19, had I been chosen, I would have been.
Yes. Exactly.
Which is wild, if you think about that.
I would have been a horrible wife.
I can't.
I would have been
to
the
be
worst
honest, though,
wife.
Like, that's such a good point, because when I look back on what got me into my marriage, we often talk about, like, a lot of the healing and therapy that I did coming out of my divorce was not necessarily in the marriage, but how did I make the choices to marry him, right? And a lot of it came down to wanting to feel chosen. Mm-hmm. And actually those very words of, I just wanted to, I was so desperate to be chosen by a husband, because then I thought it would give me some kind of spiritual clout or whatever. And that was the problem there, was that for some reason I felt like it validated my ministry to have a husband. And yes, I was obviously, we talked about this, like, head over heels in love with my husband and all that kind of stuff. And, but I felt like I was chosen. So then when he didn't choose me anymore and left and walked out and the divorce happened and it was calling it quits, to me, it was like this. So now I'm not chosen. Not only am I not chosen, now I was chosen and then rejected, which is a whole other side of things. You were talking about before as well, Manny, like, wasting our younger years. I didn't waste my younger years. Like, you want to talk about Christian dating? I was terrified to date. If I could go back and do, like, there are, yes, guys that I wouldn't have dated, like, in LA for sure. But, like, if I look back on my, like, teenage early adolescence in Australia, I wish I had dated more. Actually wish I had dated more.
I was about to say, I just wish I had dated.
Period.
Just like,
not just courted.
Not courted. Just like,
not pursued.
Just actually dated. Like, I'm dating and I'm having coffee with you and I'm not trying to weigh whether or
I'd
not you're gonna be my husband.
You as a person.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else about you, but I'm trying to figure out if you are going to be my husband. So yes, I will take a vanilla oat milk latte. What do you think about gentle parenting? Like, what is like, literally, it's it's wild and it's insane, because it's everything. You're not encouraged to date, because everything really in the church comes back to purity culture and like, well, we just don't want you to do anything that could tempt you to have sex. And then what happens if you have
sex? You're gonna lose your blessing.
You're gonna lose your blessing.
Damaged goods. Premarital sex was the prerequisite for a future divorce. You know what I'm saying? Like, as if.
And I didn't even have sex before I got married with my ex.
Man.
With my
ex. What's crazy, too, is I remember feeling that pressure. Like, I didn't date much. Like, I had just, like, a few relationships, but I was so afraid of getting it wrong.
Thank you.
I was so afraid of wasting my time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there was, like, this, like, pressure. Now, again, I'm thankful that my journey led me to who I'm with now. Beautiful. But I remember being, like, out of college, and I'm thinking, man, my time is already running out. And then now I don't really want to, like, date too much, because then, like, I'll probably slip up, and then that future whoever I'm supposed to be with, now we're like, we can no longer be compatible, because that's God's best for me. And now I'm not going to be able to be, like, reach God's best. And so there was so much pressure on me that I was like, I'm so glad I'm
that
out of that
idea
now.
Of what, God's what? Best is very like it,
and now
it's like
that
to me, it's a different
the most...
way to word the one.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a different way to word. There is a one for everyone.
And my understanding completely shifted when I picked my wife.
And the thing about it is the mental, emotional, and spiritual turmoil that takes a person, but especially a young person trying to figure out themselves, trying to figure out life through, is so toxic and unfair. Yeah. Like, oh my God, if like you're supposed to be allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah.
That's how you learn. Like, even us saying, like, we don't arrive where we are without the things that went wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, a lot of the things that went right, but But a lot of the things that went wrong, unfortunately, it's like design. Like that's what shapes your character. That's what gives you wisdom and knowledge. And so the fact that you're supposed to like have this expectation to arrive at this pinnacle of discernment and wisdom by 20 to know how to choose well. So then you're like, I didn't choose well. I've wasted my time. And now this hypothetical human who exists for me in the future, I'm ruined for them.
And that's where we're going to take our break, y'all. Stay tuned next week for part 2. We love you guys.